Good morning, everyone. My name is Anthony Bradford, owner of Creatus Loop Companion Care Services. I am the CEO of the company. We've been around since 2015. We have two offices, one in Palm Beach, well, West Palm Beach, and one in Miami. Both offices serve as a need for healthcare support for our school districts in Miami-Dade and Broward. And also our headquarters here in West Palm Beach, we serve Palm Beach School.
Hey, it's Kellen, and today on Diversified Game, you guys don't just get your pens ready, but I want you to think about if your business was to 10x, even if your business was to double, would you be cool or would you be in trouble? My guest today, I met in the ETC cohort, Sharifa and Bruce Willis, Sharifa Green and Bruce Willis. I thank y'all for what you do. And it was such a great thing because sometimes people think in training, like, oh, only new people can be trained. And I don't know what was going on with the E2C cohort here in Palm Beach County, except that Sandra Hammerstein sent it to me. And when she sends me something, I answer it. So I have Sir Anthony Bradford, and he's going to give us the game on how he went from military, one of those few people that I know who actually enjoyed the military, said he could still be in it, especially when he's making the moves he's making now. His biggest problem, I heard it on day one, and I said, what a blessing. Let's pray for this brother and let's get his story, was that he had to hire like 80 people in a quick time. So, Sir Anthony, welcome to Diversified Game. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir. Thank you for that fine introduction. I really appreciate it.
You just don't know how, like, the energy and the positivity, and also to say, wow, what a blessing. If you just keep on pushing, you know, your problems, and I say problems, but they're blessings. But the more people you pay, the more problems you have to sort out. And so let's get into first, just, you know, here you're winning already. But I want to go to what did the military do for you? Because there's a lot of young people right now who school is a hustle. I just paid Sallie Mae back her six. No. It was 100,000 after that interest and everything. We just finished. I just paid that education off, right? I want to know, what did the military do for you, and just any advice you have for the young people thinking, should I go to school first or at all, or should I do the military and have them pay for it? Give us the game on your story, please.
Well, my story is kind of a little different, in a sense of how the military, how I benefited personally from the military. Coming from pretty much a single parent home in a sense. And I had an opportunity to play sport. I was pretty decent at football. So I had an opportunity to go to Hampton University to play football back in the day. And when I got there were things that I did not have in place at home for our structure, organization, leadership. All those tangible or intangible things that make a person successful. So my crack at the military first time was ROTC, Reserve Officer Training Corps program, where you could become, after you graduate from college, you become a commissioned officer. So as I got into school and realized that it was a Hampton University is an academic school, right? And I didn't know that until I got there. Because they tell you this other stuff about that, playing sports, football, everything else like that, but they leave out the academic part, right? So it was a whirlwind with me when I first got there, and I was like, oh wow, because I was not really prepared for that rigor, academic studies that at the university. So to be honest with you, I wasn't doing all that good. I wasn't doing well at all. So I had to find a way to get in a short time span to be able to logistically organize and be able to accomplish goals systematically. And as I started to see different things on a campus, I saw these folks, and I used to laugh at them, I'll be honest with you. They used to walk in their uniforms and stuff like that. I was like, I would never do that, right? But when I was in class with them, it was the most prepared, most organized, most disciplined. They always was well groomed. I mean, they had things like, yo, I want to do that. I want to be that. So I took the risk. I was kind of like a little scared, but I took the risk and like I actually signed up. I was already in shape for football, so I said, let me try this thing out. So my first time in military science, that's what they call it. I actually enjoyed it. And they made me be me. They brought the best out of me. I had gained confidence in my ability to compete. And then if I didn't know what to do or how to do it, I was confident enough to ask. One of the things I believe the young folks today run into is when things don't go their way, or if they do not know how to do things. And what happens is they don't ask, or they ask in a way that's not direct. So you really don't know. You're trying to pick their brain and everything else like that. So the military got me to be direct, ask the question, formulate the question, and then the most important thing, critically think. Because before I was more reactionary. I didn't really plan my thoughts out or critically think. But it got me that understanding of how to critically think in today's society. So using all that, and gaining all that experience in college, and thank God, I prayed when I graduated, right, from college. And I became a commissioned officer, second lieutenant, United States Army. With that experience, and I've been in the military for 3 years, but Iraq, Afghanistan, Djibouti, Africa, Kuwait, all the things you want to do for a young person, I did. So I had the world experience from the military. And I was a logistic officer. I'm like, I was like, what's a logistic officer? Well, I wasn't just your average. I wasn't no sniper. I was no airborne ranger. This rural. I was just a logistic officer that happened to have a contract. I was like a contract officer, logistic officer. So I thought that was a safe space to be in the military as an officer because you, on stateside, you're pretty much behind the desk, pushing paper, making things connect everything. But when you go forward, when you get deployed, you're actually on the battlefield. And my main job when I was overseas was build base camp. That's what I did. I built base camps in Kuwait, Iraq, Afghanistan, all around the areas. And that got me the opportunity to talk to different folks as far as nation building, higher ranking officers and senior enlisted from all the branches of the service. So I was able to put all this together and learn all this through the military. It gave me the confidence from the beginning, the pillars of how to be successful. And dealing with a lot of people. The Army is a people business. The Air Force might have the high-tech equipment, the Navy has the ships and all that. The Marines is riding on the ships and stuff like that. But the Marine Armies are a people business. You gotta deal with people. The way you get things done, you gotta deal with people. And then you meet and talk with and discuss people from all walks of life in the country, as far as the South. The North, the East, the West, different points of views, different understandings, and things like that. So, as an officer, I have to bring all that together in a cohesive way to make sure we accomplish the mission. Well, that gave me the ability, once I retired, to formulate a company and use those same principles to help support who we are as the Creative Solutions. Are we able to support the community? So just fast forward, the things I learned how to do to fight in the war, I wanted to do the complete opposite when I retired. I wanted to help people. I wanted to take care of people. I seen the other side of what people was not helped or are able, going through troubled times or devastating times, communities destroyed. I was a part of that for like 23 years. So when I got out, I want to be the other side. I want to build communities. I want to create positivity. I want opportunity. So use what I've learned in the military and transform it into something else in the community so we all can be a part of it. And I always tell everybody, our Creative Solutions is bigger than me. it's not, I don't like to, I am, but I try to stay in the background because the nurses and the caregivers and the therapists, all those folks do their work, right? And I help support them. So I try to give them the limelight. And that's how I learned in the military. You take responsibilities when things are wrong, and when things go good, you hand that off and down to your staff and whoever's supporting you. So I learned that same concept there. So I would just use the same model for me personally, because I just back up a little bit. When I got out of high school, I didn't have all the skill sets to prepare me to go to college. What saved me was the military. And I recognize that and I appreciate it. And I tell any young person, it was in my situation. Everybody's different. But in my situation, military should be an option. You don't have to be an officer. You can be I know some successful business folks that was senior enlisted and things like that. Oh, way better than I am, but they learn those traits and skill sets through the military. And they're able to run companies now, nominal companies. And I'm just doing what they're doing. So nothing special. I don't got no magic wand. I don't got any of that. I just use what was in front of me, proven facts, proven skill set, and apply them. And so that's how I'm here now. I'm talking to you. Hopefully that answers somewhat of your question. I know it was long-winded, but that's
No, that's the game that they need, and that, somebody doesn't have a relative or a daddy or something, they can really listen. That's the name of the game for Diversified Game, showing how people started, sustained, succeeded, and not putting any cap on it, not saying if you do this, you'll be rich. Because, when you go play sports in college, you almost think you're there, but you're really getting so further from the what you really want to do is go pro. That's everybody's, vision. But the more you play and you're looking at everyone and you say, wow, either, the game isn't fair. It's not fair, and the best players don't always make it, especially if you don't have the right attitude and discipline and even body structure. But one thing it sounds like the military did for you, it almost made it seem like this business stuff is easy. Because if you can be in Djibouti and you can be in Kuwait building things and you're dealing with different cultures, languages, this on your homeland, does it make it easy, that experience, more than being a Sigma? The military prepared you for business. Does it seem easy compared to the military and setting up them bases?
Well, yes and no, right? I wouldn't say easy. I would just say different. Because again, when you're dealing with people, that's a variable that you really can't control sometimes, right? So in the civilian world, if you say something that a civilian don't like, they really don't have to do it, right? They can think about it, they can resign, they can do whatever, right? In the military, if I tell somebody, I order them, they have to do it. Right, so in some aspects, civilian side is harder than the military, right? But what you have to learn is you have to treat everyone. I learned this that's in the military like they are someone special that's important, right? They have to contribute. They let you know that cuts across all things right there. When someone feels that you really care about them and that your best interest is with them, I don't care if you're in the civilian world or the military. You can make progress working with people. You don't have to agree all the time, but you'll be able to listen. I always tell people the first thing of wisdom is listen. So once you start to listen, you start to formulate your own thoughts, your own ideals, reading a lot and stuff like that, and that's just put it in play. But to answer your question, it's the easy part of the civilian side is putting things together logistically, right? I know how to do that in the military. It's like, this is how it works. And a lot of businesses and a lot of logistics in businesses come from the military background. It's the same logistics, same tool. They kind of change the name over and everything else like that. Even the computers and all the stuff we use now to do common things, I mean, that's what we do in the military, so it's the same concept in a sense. So when you come back into the civilian side, it's kind of, okay, I got this. I got this. I got this. No wrinkles in there, but I got this. So that part was big transition for me. I didn't have to go back to school How do I train civilians? Or how do I get through to people? Or how do I provide opportunity with minimal resources? I had to do that in the military, right? So, I mean, when I came here, it was, oh, okay, this game on, let's do it, boom. How you create policies and why policies and procedures are important. Who's in charge? Who's not in charge? Why there should be one? I mean, I learned that in the military, apply those things into the civilian side, and it works. It works. A lot of, I mean, I'm not sure now, but when I was back in my day, a lot of the CEOs were military. They were all had some type of military background. They became successful businessmen. That's why I believe military folks, or at least who have that background, because I know some phenomenal civilians that works for the military, and they kind of follow the same culture that we have. And once they retired, they became phenomenal to what they did. So it's almost like you know, an opportunity that exists in front of the young folks that they should take advantage of if they have limited options. And again, looking at a brother that had limited options, had to do what he had to do to make sure things work out. You know, so that's how I look at it as far as easy versus.
Yeah, when you were saying all that, I'm thinking, what if you could contract out military folks so they would have to say, yes, sir? And, I guess only military and inmates have to, only people who have to do when you say something, you got to do it. But that would be kind of a cool contract where you could get people who you really, understand that you signed up for something. And everybody, when you sign up for a job, you should be willing to do the job. But like Dave Ramsey, and I think he didn't create the quote, he gives credit to someone else, but he says, employees come early, come late, leave early, and still while they're there. And dealing with people is the hardest part. Now that you have to hire 80 people, and I think you're gonna have to hire even more because that's just, one contract. You're gonna get more contracts. This is the man. If you see him in the grocery store, you need to have your CV on your phone, y'all, so you can send it to him. But what does that look like in a time where we're hearing young people don't want to work, like, the elders? This is a very, every generation has this issue. Nobody's working harder than, the older people. But I see it even in what we do. Folks just want to say, I want to get a PPP loan. What are you finding in hiring people? What are you looking for? Where are you going? And where can people find you? Because there are so many people too, at the same time, who do want to work and they just can't find that right opportunity. And sometimes they have more education where people won't even give them a chance because they have a bachelor's, maybe a master's, even PhDs working at Starbucks.
Well, let me give you a backstory, and then I'll answer your question as far as education. Start off the education. So I got a bachelor's and I have a master's as well. What really triggered me to go into business was I was actually in a doctoral program for business, right? And as I was contemplating what to do with my life as a retired officer, I was like going back and forth, like, should I just go back to work? Should I just go back to school? Or I'm trying to figure it out, right? So I said, you know what? I know a little bit. Let me go to this doctoral program. So I lasted about maybe about 2 months. So, and one of the things that struck me was I already knew what a business plan was. I already knew what a strategic plan was. I already knew what a P&L statement was, a balance sheet, all that. I learned that as college, you know? So I wasn't really worried about that. I was worried about how you be successful in business. What is the things that I didn't know, and from my undergrad years and my master's years, I have an MBA as well, that I don't know now. So what was the doctoral program? So I was looking for business leaders. And my professor at the time was never had a, he was a, he had a PhD in business, right? But never had a business. Never opened a store, never did. And I was perplexed. I was like, hold on, how are you going to teach business if you don't, if you never had a business, right? And as an entrepreneur sense. So the way I was answering his questions, he really didn't like. I was always saying, well, you got to have a business. So at the time, we had a disagreement, and I was like, you know what? I open my own business, my own PhD, my own doctoral, my way, right? Do this business planning prep. So that's how I got into one of the reasons triggered me to get business side of things that way. But answer your question as far as how do you find people? It's a combination. People find you and you find them. And I learned this through the military. You have to do it, right? Initially. I mean, I can remember when we used to do convoys in Afghanistan, no one wanted to be the lead vehicle. That's pretty much was IEDs and stuff like that. You hit and you gotta go from there, right? But if I didn't do it, they wouldn't do it, right? So I had to be the lead vehicle, right? They had to touch me to see if I'm real. So with young folks or even people who are trying to change careers and trying to do something else, they have to know that the leader will, like when I first got my first contract, I was walking dogs, you know, the lady had a caregiver, but she was walking, the lady, our client had a dog, but our client wanted the dog to be walked, but she couldn't do it. The caregiver could not leave our client at the time, right? So I had to every day go and walk the dog. You know, dog did his thing, clean it up, everything else like that. And when they saw me do that, they was more committed, right? So I would tell young folks, like, and what happens with older folks my age, we like to say things back in the day or whenever, they never seen me. I mean, they got to see it. They got to see you out there. When I say I have a business, I want them to come to my office and see my office and see the bricks, the cubicles, and see it, because then they was like, okay, got it, got it, I got it. Not to say y'all go in business or work for you, but they see it. Got to be tangible, got to be real, they got to feel it. Because today's society is, you know, they're so technical advanced that everything is, you know, on the technology side. When you start dealing with people, they got to see the real thing. And I try to be as authentic as possible, show them the office in Miami, show them the office here, show, you know, my desk is all screwed up. I got to work too. I mean, I got to bang in the, I call it banging in the paint, right? Basketball term. I got to bang in the paint. As a CEO, don't mean I got the corner office and I get to tell people what to do. No, I have to be the first one to do it. And I have to be the last one to leave. So one of the things I do, now I'm not the first one here all the time, right? But I'm always the last one to leave. So they have to see that. And once they see that, all right, he's committed, then I believe that's a great opportunity for folks, young, older, whatever, say, okay, I want to be with that program. I want to see what he got going on. So that's how I look at it.
And that's a real positive, you know, vibe of doing a whole bunch of stuff. Now, when I think about all the stuff that you're doing and, you know, the extra stuff that you're a part of, like I had mentioned, you know, your fraternity and just even in the community, do you have children? Have you had time to have children? Do they work in the business to say, look, this is our empire to take over? Like, how have you tapped into that? Because a lot of folks, and even me, I'm just doing it now because my kids are getting to that age where, you're going to do more and more and more. And ain't nothing, no free rides. I'm Scrooge McDuck, maybe, you know, counting my pennies. But talk about that so we can all learn.
Well, so I have kids, right? They're adults now, right? So I have a kid, my son, Miles is 25, and my daughter is 23. They both work for the company, and they both owe me money because I pay for their college. So they be like, yo, when I'm going to get a raise? Like, when I pay off, y'all owe me, right, the last week. So they work for the company. My son is one of our logistics persons, and he has clients too. He's an actual HHA that has about three clients, and he's still going back to school. My daughter just graduated from FAMU last year, and she's actually our office manager in the Miami office. So the kids, my family works for Creative Salute. So they all want a raise, but they owe me, you know what I'm saying? They ain't getting no raise until I get my money back, right? So But it's part of the game. Part of the game. So I had time. I had kids. It didn't balance. And the older you get, the more special your kids are. Especially as you see them grow up, you see them mature, you see them being a part of the business, them critically think. And I step back and be amazed, like, man, I remember them. I used to, they wouldn't even take the garbage out, you know, stuff like that. So now they're out here helping people. You know, my son has a good heart, better than mine, and he can relate to a lot of. We deal with folks, we call them exceptional clients, but they have a disability. We don't like to use a disability, we just say clients, right? But he has a heart of gold. So he has a direct connect. When I introduce my son Miles to clients in these needs, because he's of the age where we have a base of clients that want a male, that want somebody around 20 to 25 that goes out, you know, because they want their family to be just like everyone else. But he's our go-to person, and he has support there. My daughter is like me. She likes to be behind the scenes and do things like that. But they both have different talents, but as a father, it's a great opportunity to see them progress. But let me not forget who all puts this together is my wife, who is the vice president of therapy services. So she deals with our speech therapy, occupational therapy, and physical therapy. She is a speech therapist as well. She works at school system too. So she's instrumental of the business. I don't like to, he said Anthony Bradford, but there's a Juliet Bradford as well that's helped support this organization, who's really got a great heart. She keeps me in line. She makes sure I stay humble when I think I'm better than somebody. She breaks me down. Really like that. That's my sweetheart. We've been married for 27 years. Met her at Hampton University. She's way smarter than I am. So I just, you know, I appreciate her. So she's part of the team, but she likes to be more behind the scenes. I'm kind of behind the scenes, but she wants, and we both can't be behind the scenes. So, you know, I'm trying to push her out more so people can see, like, oh, this is not an Anthony Bradford show. But he came up with all these great things. I tell you this, Juliet kind of talked me into the healthcare business. I like to be transparent because I want to keep it real. When I was deciding what type of business to get into, after I call it, I resigned from the doctoral program, they probably say they put me out. I don't know how you want money. I was between a, believe it or not, an ice cream shop and a healthcare business. Because I love ice cream, right? And Juliet talked me out of the ice cream shop and said, do the healthcare. I give all her the credit on that side. So I'd have been doing ice cream for her, not in the healthcare business, through her. I got to give her all that credit.
That's a beautiful thing. Well, I'm seeing maybe the next business is a healthy ice cream. I know I'll be a taste tester, filling out that app. But I have a message to the folks, especially those of you who are passport bros or in the manosphere, whatnot. You hear what the man said, and you hear so many guests that I have on who are married. Proverbs 18, 20, 22. He who finds a wife, finding her finds a good thing, especially when she's smart. So you don't have to go to a developing country to find somebody in ruins to try to manipulate them and bring them back. It 9 out of 10 times doesn't work anyway. But stay there, stay over there if you did find that love. But this system is, you know, is a little different. And people change. But that is such a big thing. And that's the real win to me, that you got to do it with your family and everybody is participating. Like, that's real wealth. There's not a dollar amount that you can put on that because there's so many people who can have billions and billions of dollars. Their families hate them. Read any John Grisham book, y'all, from the 90s. You know, families wanting to kill each other. It happens in Africa too. People fighting over land, homes, poisoning the second wife, the third wife, and all this. So that's the win. That's the takeaway. Y'all don't focus so much on the money. The money will come as long as you're doing what you're supposed to do. But can you tell the people with, you know, that success, and that's the biggest, What is a community give back that you're able to do or that you'd like to do in the future?
Well, I would like to scale up, which I'm trying to do now, which is, you know, growing pains. We scale up. And I would like to give back more to community. Recently, I was selected to be on the board of directors for the Cell Foundation in Palm Beach and the Treasure Coast. So I'll be starting next January with that. I'm really committed to make sure that, you know, we get that disease, which impacts, you know, our community, especially women of color, very hard. So through my healthcare business, I would like to put that information out. How do we overcome? How do we manage it? How do we recognize it? How do we support that? Well, because there's folks in our community that, you know, has a trait. And, you know, I would like to add my part to it. There's some great folks that run that organization, and I just like to be a part of that for there. So that's one of my community outreach programs that I do. But we do stuff in Creative Solutions as well. When I was in Riviera Beach, we used to do walkathons, and we used to actually do things like outside the box. Got away with it once we moved to West Palm because of this is where I'm located at. But I wasn't really in the community in Riviera Beach. What we used to do once a year is we recognize a house that needed help. Grass cut, puts trees down, da da da. So we used to do a beautification project. We used to have a competition through the mayor and everything else. It's like, oh, we'll go there and do the landscaping, put the trees up, make it look beautiful. And the person was able to go outside and just sit on the deck or sit on their patio with this fresh grass, smelling some trees, the real palm trees. But just that fresh air made healthcare successful. I look at healthcare as everything. You know, I don't think it's just the physical or mental approach. It's that. Plus, it's your everyday going to the beauty shop, taking a walk, talking to people, trying to listen to people. All that is good for the soul, mind, body, and soul. So that's part of the healthcare that creates solutions. That's how it works. Every time we're out there, we try to do what we can to support the community. We are, I mean, we're a for-profit company, but we are a community company as well. That's why I always tell people, Creative Solutions is way bigger than Anthony Craft. Is the stuff we into. And we're not just here. Like I said, I go all the way down to Miami. I have the same neighborhoods and dysfunctional things or things that works that's in Dade County is here in Palm County, Palm Beach County, or Broward County. So I'm actually all through there. South Florida area. I've been to every pool you want to go to from Miami, from Dade, from all the way down to the end of Homestead, all the way up to the Treasure Coast. All these schools I've been through, text, doctor, principal, superintendents, all this other stuff, you know. And they're amazed, right? You know, it's not just me. I got a team, you know, to help support. So that's where we at. That's how we do our community activities. And then my last thing is, like you mentioned earlier, you know, through my fraternity, I am a member of Phi Beta Sigma. I am the new incoming president of Phi Beta Sigma, Gamma Zeta Sigma, here in West Palm Beach Alumni Chapter. So part of our mission is to get, you know, involved in the community through our national programs, social action, bigger, better business and education, and to try to push those agendas forward to support the community as well. So it sounds like a lot, but they're all related. I'm in the same swimming lane, you know? I just add a little blue and white, or in a sickle cell, red or white, you know what I mean? And then our colors is teal and pink, right? So it's just all in the same boat. So I'm not doing something like auto mechanic, right? And then I'm a healthcare provider too. Like I'm doing the same healthcare. Our fraternity is a healthcare company. I mean, it's fraternity. We provide services for the community, right? To make the community better. The Sickle Cell Board is a community organization that helps the community to make the community better, create a solution, supports the community, and helps the community better. So all in the same swim lane. So it looks like I'm doing a lot. I'm doing the same thing, providing support for the community. Hopefully that answers your question.
It definitely does. And with the team and, you know, the family on the move and the go, I mean, with you, that all makes sense. And it does sound a lot. I was going to say you got more jobs than Grassford out here, but got a little Jamaican or maybe full Jamaican, you know. Hey, man, but
Hey, I love Jamaica. I love Jamaica. That's my spot.
yeah. Well, you know, with when you think of, you know, the expansion and you think of places like Jamaica or even pick a country in Africa, have you ever considered, you know, taking a business and going over, you know, overseas with it? Because it seems like you have a great system that I'd love to, when you write the book or do the podcast, I want a link so I can share it with people and say, hey, check this out. This is how he did it. He's giving the game. But not to add another job to you, but are there any international plans? And if so, which country?
Well, I mean, I always thought about that, but I like to be, I even thought about franchising too. Now, at some point, I love the Caribbean. If we do anything, will be the Caribbean because I would love to go. I love all parts of the Caribbean, So I would like to, at some point in my life, through this career, get to the Caribbean, one of the islands that would have created to, right? And I'll make that the headquarters then, right? But I thought about it at some point, if God willing, we'll get there and make things happen. But my next I consider this my last stop, man. Is that we got an opportunity? My territory reaches all the way down to Key West, so I would like to have a satellite office down in Key West. It'd be a great place to go and hang out and support the community down there, which is a kind of just not like Key West is a lot of tourism. There's a lot of rich folks. There's a lot of I would say rich, a lot of resources, but then there's the other side of Key West. Would they need help, support, limited resources, that is always overlooked because you think of Key West as one thing, or even the whole Keys in general, for Marathons and Big Pine, Little Pine, all those Keys, they have limited resources. I mean, there's a lot of Medicaid going down there, so I'm here to support them as well. I try to get to the folks who've been overlooked. And you like Palm Beach. Palm Beach is a very wealthy company, but if you go out to the Glades and stuff like that, you'll see the difference. And I like to support groups like that to make them part of the community to say that they're special as well. We just don't cater to one side of the house. We cater to all everyone. And it's just like a healthcare mission. You take the class and take care of everyone, regardless of the resources or what they look like or how they talk or what region of the country or region of the world they come from. Healthcare, like the doctors and nurses, they take a class, they take care of everyone. So we take that same class. But if I had to go to answer your question internationally, it would definitely be the Caribbean, definitely first. And then Africa. I've been to Africa. Africa, beautiful country. It's just far. It's far. And one of the things about a business, you have to be there. You don't be there all the time, but they have to be able to see you, see that you exist. And that's the thing that I'm about creating solutions. It'll be kind of difficult to just get on a plane and go to Africa. Now you could plan it, but it's a lot of logistics going there. But when you go to Caribbean, I can actually just go down there and get on the plane and ride right open. So it's one of those things. I do like the Caribbean. If I had to go overseas, it would be definitely that would be my first thought.
Okay, and in Africa, what is your favorite country? Because I call this an African business podcast. We do a lot of African interviews. So which country would be your
Well,
favorite at this time?
I've been in two. They weren't. I've been in two, and they were. And I've been to Djibouti, like I said before, and I've been to Somalia as well. So I didn't have opportunity to go to Nigeria and everything like that. So I went into the part of Africa where, they weren't all that friendly with us. However, the people were, right? I'm not talking about the government because there's a separation between the government and the people. Once you get to the people, it's a beautiful thing. But I spent more time in Djibouti which is on the Horn of Africa, which is a lot of time overlooked, but that's a beautiful country. It's right there with the, it's just right there out in the water. It's just the Nile and all the, this is a great place. And I got to really see the different sects of the the different sects of the beauty, right? You got the Ethiopian side, then you have like the French, it was a French colony at one point. Then you got the French mixed with the African on one side, and you got folks from Europe on one side, and then you got the French legionnaires that still support that area. So just the food, the color, you mix all that up. It's just, I thought I was back in New Orleans somewhere, you know? So great people, great food, just warm. I was taken back. I'm like every other American who's never been to Africa. They got this stereotype, what it's supposed to be and how folks supposed to act. Until you actually get there, you're like, wow, this is not what I was told in the States, or how things operate, how things look, and how you're supposed to, code of conduct. I'm telling you, Africa is a beautiful country. I mean, it's a beautiful country. You know? And that's why you got to get to the people. You got to get out of the government side and the politics. You just talk to the everyday person. It's a beautiful country. And it's, you know, my heart is broken a lot because there's a lot that continent itself. I mean, I'm not talking about the country, Djibouti. I'm talking about the continent, the resources there. And it's just, you know, it's just heartbreaking sometimes to see, like, if they could, due to, colonialism and all this other stuff like that, if some way and somehow all that could get put together as a continent, that'll be a bad thing. But that's a beautiful country, you know? And that'll be a point of destination. You know, right now they're skipping and going to Qatar and all these other cities, all these other countries in a peninsula, basically, but they kind of leaving out after the continent, which is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful continent, and all the countries involved.
Well, I'll tell you, so I can tell the audience, and they've heard me say it before, you know, if you go through AfricanAncestry.com, do your test. If you get Sierra Leone, it's in our constitution that you can get your citizenship. It's how me and my Peking, my children have gotten ours. Africa outside of the military and missionary, I always tease people because I say, did you go military or missionary? Because it's a different mission that you're on versus going on vacation. But even when you hit whatever country, Kenya has this, in Nairobi has this newer freeway that makes you think that you're in New York and you pass by, you know, the traffic and you're getting it at a quarter of the price. You spend $100,000 in Kenya, they give you a citizenship. Spend it on a house or put it in the bank, whatever. But I just love international, even Mexico. You know, we're residents of Mexico. There's so much in business when you just start going and traveling and saying, you know what, I did this here, I can do it over there. And then sometimes it becomes a tax play. Sometimes it becomes, you know, there's a re the at $100 million, it's very different than what they can do versus what we can do. But if you start to learn the game, as you know, in business, you don't know until you do it. That's why doing an MBA, I tell people, I guess if you want to, but I've seen people with MBA who don't know what a source of SOT is. They're asking you in the meetings, did she say ROI or RFP? She said both, because they're two different things, right? And yeah. And these are things that even my friends who went to Harvard and Yale and Dartmouth, they're like, I had to do business to do business, as you stated earlier. So I just say, you know, the world is big. And the only issue I have with Anthony, the only issue is he said he works 7 days a week, which as a business owner, you're never off, but we got to get him to get some days off, because there's something else that you want to do. And it could just be hiring more and chillaxing more. And maybe it is going to that Caribbean that you love, because as Black men, We look at our fathers and we look at our uncles, and I said, we got to enjoy this life so we can show our sons, yeah, enjoy life, Making money is good, but we don't want to be Gordon Gekko, where we're like, greed is good, and that's all we know. That's a Wall Street movie play for those of us. Yeah. Like, who's Gordon Gekko? Google it. But yeah, I just, that's the, you know, 7 days a week of work. When I think of when I go to funerals, I say, man, I got to enjoy life. I got to enjoy life.
And that's a good point. You know, I take my breaks, you know, I call them tactical breaks. Hey, right? So I might work 7 days a week, but one of those days, Sunday might be an hour, 2 hours. Now, it's not like I'm being in the bank for 12 hours. I got to be realistic. You can only do so much, right? And you need a break. So I made my office comfortable. I got a flat screen TV. I got a nice couch. I mean, it ain't like I'm up in here, like, you know, in a cubicle banging out right here. So I made it to a point where if I know if I have to be here, I can be here, right? And then the other thing about our business or my business in particular, we have, you know, we do Medicaid and private pay cases. I got cases that's 24/7, right? So I have folks working seven, like, you know, pretty much all night, all day, some days a week. They rotate, you know, but they on the clock, right? So I have to be available with some of the times, not all the time, but again, if they know I'm in the office on Sunday, they'll go to that person's houses. Now, it's a mind thing, you know. If they know if I would do it 7 days a week, they'll do it 7 weeks. It's just the way I was taught to do leadership. You don't put nothing on someone you won't want to do. Now, and I know for us to be successful in this business, it requires you to be open 7 days a week. I have folks through Christmas, all the holidays, you know, they need support. You know, we don't get to take off because it's Christmas break. You know, we still got cases, you know. And they don't want to see Anthony Bradford taking off for a week just because he's a break time. So it's a thing that, you know, the holiday season's coming, right? Schools is going to be out, but I still got Medicaid and private pay cases that still have caregivers, support, everything else like that. So it's just the model I use, and I try to be there available at least when they're there. And they know I'm here, you know, so it's like when I was back, when I was in mainly in Afghanistan, but I can remember calling back in the rear echelons to get support, right? I need something from the state. And it might be like 5 p.m. Afghanistan time, right? But it's 3 in the morning U.S. time, right? When I call, somebody answers. You know what I mean? They answer. So I learned that model, you know, all right? So if you want to be successful, this is what it takes to be successful. There could be other ways of being successful. I just want by the way I know it, the way I was instructed to learn how to do it. You gotta be there.
I love it. I love it. I want to end this with some good game because we see sometimes online and some people get into your industry. And I've been able to shadow people in your industry to, you know, pick up like, oh, wow, okay, this is how people are making 80,000, six figures and more a month in doing this. And everyone has their way. But what is the number one mistake you're seeing, especially our community? Because somebody can talk about this on YouTube and show you the money, but they're not showing you the expenses. And, you know, you were very transparent in our cohort. And I want some of that information for you to save it for your book and your podcast. I don't want you to give them too much because you got bills, right? Yeah. But what's the number one mistake you're seeing people who are getting into this doing so they can hear this and say, dang it, okay, let me stop that right now?
So let me just say, and you actually hit on it earlier, the number one mistake, when regardless of what line of business you in, business is business, right? And I think from my experience, the number one mistake folks make will be that they're corporate, right? No one wants to do business with a corporate. They want to do a business with a person that they can talk to personally. That, on the other end, that could be my brother. That could be my sister. That could be my father. That could be my uncle. That could be my cousin, right? Once you break those things down to the personal level, you're able to do business, right? especially in my business, I can't go into somebody's home and start equipment repair, right? Because it looks like I'm out for money, I'm out for but for my interest and everything else. So when I go to folks, I'm just like part of the family. I keep it personal, and because business is personal, and especially as a small business, so you are who you are. They have to like you. Not to say everybody might not like who I am, but they like what I bring to this. You know what I'm saying? So, keep it personal. Get out of the corporate thing. And one of the things that school teaches that I don't like is when you go, and again, I'm a product of business management, undergrad, MBA, everything else. Now I'll tell you this, I'll back up a little bit. I thought I knew business until I got my MBA. MBA got me more confused than ever. I had to really get the business to figure it out, right? So that playing, it helped me, but it didn't help. You know what I mean? Because I got confused. They're telling me do this. I'm like, how do I do that? So keep it personal and don't be so much of a corporate America type of person trying to do business. It's who you are. Be genuine, and keep it moving that way. That's the number one. And I talk to these young folks or folks here. They come in my office. I'm like, yo, and they want to talk, interview, and say, hey, they corporate America, right? I'm like, no, you going to somebody's house, you going to somebody's clinic, you going to somebody's school. They don't need that. They need to make sure that you are competent, you have bedside manners, you listen, and you there for them. Those are the traits that you need. And that's the same thing I believe cross cuts through all industries. You have those type of bedside manners, you're competent, you're there for them, and you're genuine. I don't care, you're in the steel industry. I call it bedside manners. That's basically recognizing the room, respecting people, right? But medical, we call it bedside manners, right? So if you apply those things, I think you'd be really successful. But it's always the opposite. They want to, dress in a three-piece suit, right? But if you're going to home healthcare and you're in a three-piece suit, in a suit or a nice dress, how's that going to help them? They seeing you looking like you from Wall Street or from Palm Beach Island somewhere, right? Or Flagler or something like that. And they're like, well, how are they going to help me? Right, so we try to, read the room, understand our industry, and work it. Because that's how you get these connections down. So it's kind of the opposite effect. Keep it personal, keep it boring, get good bedside manners. Get out of this corporate thing. You gotta be corporate. You gotta do. That don't work. That's it don't work anymore. I don't think it does.
I definitely, nothing about me is somewhat whatever normal to most here. So I definitely agree. We for all, so many businesses and my clients, let's be family. Let's not be so corporate. And I could go on for days, y'all. I could really go on. I could go on about that MBA and how it got him confused. We'll save it for another time, or his book. Because I want you guys to really tap in and take these words of wisdom from somebody giving you just straight-laced game, Sir Anthony, Chief Anthony. Man, we thank you for your service in the military. We thank you for your service, what you're doing now, because it's needed and it's taking care of those who don't have anybody, don't have families, are their families having to work in this expensive, place. We're dealing with so much inflation and eggs are $7 and $8. My gosh. So we thank you for all of your service, genuinely. Because it's needed, and not everybody could do it. Not everybody would be a good, steward of what you have. They'd be talking crazy, and how many millions and billions and the Bugatti and everything else that they have on rent. So I thank you, and the audience. I thank y'all for listening this far. And if you do need services, the links will be in the description. If you want to learn more, links are in the description. For Anthony's and his wife and his family's company, maybe y'all need some, parenting help. You can try to get him to consult with you on that. But I want y'all to like this game. I want you to subscribe to this game. More importantly, though, please share this game with somebody. It will change their life. Feel free. You can put a review, put your comments, all that good stuff. Y'all be blessed.
Hello everyone, this is Latasha Blanton from The Real South Africa Travel and Tourism. And you're going to have the opportunity to travel with Phil Scott to
sunny South Africa. You guys are going to have the opportunity to come to Johannesburg, and you guys are going to be coming to Durban. And we're going to set it up perfectly. It's going to be like a luxury experience for you guys. At the same time, you're going to be getting some culture. And of course, you're going to get an opportunity to talk to Phil, hang out with Phil, and get his views on Africa and South Africa.
You're also going to get an opportunity to explore the lifestyles here that are available in South Africa. And we're going to do all that for you in an amazing 10 days. We do hope that you go to the website and book, because we do look forward to seeing you here.
Absolutely. Our website is therealsouthafrica.com. Go there, scroll down. You'll see a picture of Phil, and just go ahead and book there. So we'll see you here in what we like to call sunny
South Africa. Africa.
Are you tired of the violence, tired of the injustice, police brutality, rampant discrimination, lack of gun control in this failed bias socioeconomic experiment called America? Or maybe you need a break from the relentless grind and want to regain control of your destiny, your wealth, your health, and your purpose. DiversifiedGame.com has the right course for you. Prepare for my first trip to Africa. Looking to reconnect with your roots, start a new business, or just a fresh start. Africa, aka the motherland, is waiting. Don't let the Chinese and the Mzungus have the fun and also take over the motherland. From Cairo to Mombasa, from Dakar to Cape Town, Africa has something for everyone, from business opportunities to the most amazing people, safety, leisure, and landscapes. The opportunities abound. It is time for the diaspora to reconnect with their roots. Time to reconnect with the birthplace of humanity. Africa is the last frontier. Get your head in the game and reclaim your legacy. The writing is on the wall. Babylon is falling. Give up the stress, grind, and violence inflicted on our people on this continent and prepare for a journey of restoration and joy by connecting with the land of your ancestors. Check out our new course and kick off your adventure at diversifiedgame.com.